You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
We got your favorite sports and we got your favorite team.
Big Red,
Big Red, way out in California, but we represent the scene.
Big Red,
Big Red, Pat's going treaty. Our hitter makes some noise. We got a podcast. We're basically unemployed. Big Red, Big Red, Big Red,
I'm Pat.
Opening on this.
That's you, Joe.
I'm Joe.
There we go.
That's me. I said I'm Joe. Am I off?
Well, no, you're here.
I said it. Was it off before?
You're just in the bathroom focusing on capturing video of mannequins. So so your focus is a little off.
If you're brave, here's what I dare you to do. If you're brave, I dare you to take the phone without checking first. Open the lid of the trash can in the bathroom and show us what's in it.
There's no lid.
You can't look first.
Also, this is an audio
podcast. There's no lid. And it's all Kleenexes.
Oh.
And no, they're not mine. Well, actually, the last one I did, I had to blow my nose after the shower that I took. Thanks for giving me that shower time, guys.
Yeah, no problem.
We're
starting late for the
bathroom, and you can't flush them. So I wipe my ass, and then I throw shitty toilet paper in the trash can.
Jesus Christ!
So there's just a pile of shitty toilet paper.
No. I cannot believe that. I have to leave. That's awful.
15 minutes late, and we start with shitty Kleenex on the podcast.
We could edit that out. Actually, that was really awful. There is stuff to talk about. I was worried.
Yeah, there's plenty of stuff to talk about. We went through a whole show rundown while we were waiting for you to wash your ass.
A show rundown? Oh, that's the part I forgot to wash.
you do look fresh out of the shower, by the way.
I feel fresh out of the shower. It's been days.
Yeah. Is it pretty well set in stone that we're not going to have any changes in the program, like coaching wise or anything this year?
I mean, the only thing I can think of is if they plan on hiring somebody from either Alabama or Ohio State.
This has happened before. If one of the changes is someone who's key to someone that we're either about to sign that we're in on, like, the defensive backs coach, I think it was under Riley, who got a couple defensive backs from Colorado and then left the program. Like, that's the only thing I could think of there. But I mean, also,
You talking about Williams?
I think I'm thinking of Raymond, Corey Raymond. But honestly,
on Riley's staff,
got those 2-4 stars from the cornerbacks from the Denver area.
Yeah,
right.
Wasn't Williams, and Williams was the receivers and D-backs coach, were they?
Yes.
Well, no, Deontay Williams came later.
Oh, did he?
He was a replacement. He wasn't in that staff right away. He was only with us for a year.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a short time.
Yeah. But so I go back.
Riley was only with us for like 2 years.
Three. I go back and forth on all this because it clearly looks like some changes are needed, but also like,
what are the changes?
Well, what specifically are the best ones? Like, and without making wholesale changes and then just completely really fucking the prospect next year. Yeah. Like, changes are necessary, but also like, would it almost make things worse for 1 year? And there's no room for error next year. I just don't.
500 seasons and you can make changes. 500 seasons and you gotta see if it's gonna work or cut bait.
I think getting rid of Verduzco isn't a horrible idea.
I would agree with you on that, and which is why it's a little surprising if that were going to happen. I mean, I would think if that were going to happen, it would have happened by now, because
I kind of think so too.
Because Heinrich Harburg has already signed, unless they're trying to give it a little bit of space so it doesn't look too shady, because there is always the possibility of guy signs, you fire the guy who recruited him, and that looks.
But that
I don't care if that guy goes.
But it maybe,
well, and also, maybe they're also that's not a guy who was only coming because of Verduzco. He was coming because of the Nebraska offer.
Well, yeah. There's that too. But I mean, I think it's trying to avoid negative recruitment. And if you can make sure that you've got like the
replacement. If they're trying to avoid negative recruitment, they shouldn't have lost so many games.
Yeah. But if you maybe the possibility is that they're trying to line up. I mean, I don't think this is happening, but there is also the possibility that they're trying to line up the replacement before pushing someone out the door.
That's absolutely
always a possibility too.
Like, look what happened.
They should have already done that. That should have already been done.
Sure. But yeah, but like Texas, they fire Herman after saying he's going to stay. And like 3 hours later, they signed Sarkisian. That didn't just happen. They didn't call him after they fired Herman. We just saw you rip one there, Ryan. That was pretty obvious.
You can tell? Yeah. How?
Yes. Because you just rose out of your seat, dude, and you made a face.
Yeah.
That was like, if anyone wants to check out the video at this point, Ryan, rewind a little bit, because you can see Ryan just kind of like rise out of his seat.
Yeah. it's gnarly too.
I bet.
I'm really glad we're not in the studio right now. I'm really glad we're not in the studio.
Yes, you're right. That's one of the pluses. None of his farts.
If you're a Steve Sarkisian, or even really anyone taking like a major job anymore, really a lot of it is you're taking it for that potential buyout. You know it's not going to last forever.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
Like
the amount of money
that is just 15 million just to go away. That's crazy. That's how
Balzahn got 21.
What's that?
That's how much Sarkisian's getting, or Herman?
That's how much Herman's getting just to go away.
Jeez.
Yeah.
To go away. And Malzahn got 21 million.
Well, but he's been there for years and years and years and years and years.
Well, I mean, Herman's been there for 4 years. You're right. You're right. Well, I mean, he is set forever.
A lot
getting
of
fired.
A lot of it's where the firing occurs within your contract.
Right.
Because no matter how long you've been there, if you've only got 1 year left on your contract, it's a little bit easier to cut bait. But signed a brand new contract, man, to get rid of you, they owe you a lot, which it feels like, whoa, where are you getting this money from when
the
athletic department?
I mean, in Texas right now?
Well, yeah. I mean, you have to be going to the big oil tycoons and saying, hey, we couldn't sell any tickets this year. Can we borrow some of your oil money?
Yeah. Yep. Because people in Texas are going to go crazy for Steve Sarkisian.
for us.
Kidding.
Hey, ConAgra, can we borrow some?
No, it's Larry the Cable Guy, dude.
Larry the Cable Guy, as rich as he is,
yeah,
does not.
He'd have to have.
Yeah, he'd have to be giving up a huge portion of his net worth to fire a coach to do it with him.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, so it's probably more like who's the evil company that from Nebraska that's all
the Koch brothers?
No, you're thinking the Monsanto, what
Monsanto
Bayer, I think is what they are now.
Oh, is it
Mayor Ricketts or Governor Ricketts is from an evil rich family?
Yeah, that's true.
They're TD Ameritrade.
They could handle it.
Yeah.
They're dismantling Monsanto the Cubs for no reason.
Monsanto is a horrible organization that intentionally devastates the world internationally. Like
that's what capitalism gets you.
That's not true.
Well, unfettered capitalism. Unfettered capitalism. You're right. Unfettered.
Right.
Unregulated.
Yeah.
If they said consumer protection.
Unregulated anything is bad. There needs to be
exactly.
some regulation.
Exactly. And don't call it regulation. Call it consumer protection.
There we are.
Then people would be for it.
We've solved all the issues, guys.
That's what a typical Democrat move. Just change the name to something that sounds good to the
masses. No. The other it's no,
that's
the
a
other
typical
way.
Politician it, move. That's
yes, exactly. Like, calling it fair, calling it fair, we've fair, removed regulations without telling people that now their air is going to be dirty is a bit of a not Democrat ploy.
I mean, it's why
and this is for all the, by the way, this is a segment for all the haters because this is my favorite segment. Well, I mean, I said nothing. I said, keep your air clean. And they're going to be like, he's politics. I want to breathe my dirty air. If I want to, I'm a libertarian. Let me eat my own shit.
Hey, if this is America, let us eat our own shit if we want.
You've been doing it. It's everywhere.
Yeah, you're
we're all eating your
I
shit.
I mean, you're bathing in the gaseous form of it right now.
Good.
It's
my shit. If I want to eat it, it's my shit. Get off my lawn. Fucking legalize drugs, bitch.
Said as Joe joins in that argument in his own way, which you cannot do.
I can't. I'm sober 3 days. I got a whole year to go. $1,000 bet.
This, you know, some people are going to be mad, but they'll be like, if that was tobacco, you'd be all right.
So
let's talk Nebraska.
I'm shifting it back a little bit. So we were talking, shall we call it, if we want to talk euphemisms, continuity within the program, at least on the bright side of that, there is continuity in the form of JoJo Doman. Did you ever expect that he was going to be back next year? Because I personally didn't. I thought he was going to grad transfer his way out into a better program.
Oh, I expect that makes more sense. I thought you were going to say go to like the NFL or something.
Bro,
there's nobody on our team that won't benefit from another year.
Cam Taylor Britt.
Cam Taylor Britt needs another year. He's young.
Do you think that he
not will if he's a top
another program?
I mean, I'll tell you what. You can go ahead and you can try to pull a the fuck was that wide receiver's name?
For who?
They went to TCU.
Oh, Spielman. J.D. Spielman, yeah.
Spielman. You can try to pull a Spielman and go into a program where you might even be better than the talent they got there, but with no credibility coming from Nebraska after a bunch of losing seasons. You can do that. I mean, if he wants to give that a shot, he can.
Is that being talked about?
Well, I think everyone's kind of afraid of it because Cam Taylor Britt was pretty clearly our best talent this year. And
no doubt.
And unlike Spielman, he seems to have a pretty good head on his shoulders. So I think it seems like
I think he stays or goes pro.
That's I think likely what it is because I doubt
he's going to go pro. Anybody that goes pro this year from Nebraska is going to they're just leaving a bunch of money on the table.
Well, I'll say this: team success ultimately doesn't matter when it comes to the draft. If you have the talent, like because I think Cam Taylor Britt does have the measurables. And you know, could be if I had to guess, he'd probably be a second round draft pick this year.
You think second?
I think third.
I think fifth.
Well, if it, Steve, and he'll get feedback on that.
And that'll be what's key there. And if he,
because if he hears fifth, he comes back, I think.
Absolutely. He would be stupid not to, because if you hear fifth, chances are
that could be sixth or seventh.
Yeah. You're looking anywhere between four and seven. If you're hearing fifth, if you hear second, yep, could be probably anywhere between,
sorry guys,
second and fourth probably. So but yeah, if he does get a truly second round grade, it's not a terrible idea, because I mean, he's got a pretty good look at a contract there, and obviously every you can get as a pro, better. But yeah, that would be absolutely huge. If he comes back, there's the possibility that Boodle could come back, because they all get that extra year of eligibility. If we can get Deontay Williams,
no, Boodle, back, I mean, Boodle's not coming back.
Are you doing product placement because you have some sort of weird contract with Higher Path?
they depend on a lot of Nebraska business.
All I'm saying is you have to share that money with us.
You don't get to advertise on this podcast and not share.
Yeah.
I was just organizing my shelf and this camera's screwed up. I'll have it out of here in a second.
That's a weird way to do things.
It's inside the cabinet.
Okay. Right. So who are we left waiting on to find out if they come back? And what was the word on, is Boodle drafting it up?
I don't know. I haven't heard about Boodle. I haven't heard about Stilly. I haven't heard about Mills.
Waiting on Stilly. I think he might be coming back. But
Stilly, if as long as the coaching staff wants him back, Stilly will be back. He's a Nebraska kid. I have no
doubt. I agree. I think it's huge that Doman is coming back, because he's going to start somewhere.
Jack Stoll is going to the NFL, which on the surface, I mean, I think he is eventually an NFL tight end. This wasn't the best year for him to leave on, because he was banged up all year, but also
he sees who's coming in.
There's going to be a lot of tight end talent in that room. And I think he's probably afraid that he's not going to get any more playing time, and I can't fault him on that.
Right. And his draft position won't go up if that happens.
But then,
if he's even drafted, he might be a free agent. But also there are a couple linemen. Was it Bo Wilson who's going in the portal?
Which he lost his starting job to a redshirt freshman this year, to Piper, which I think was the right call. And I think it's the right call for Bo Wilson.
Writing on the wall.
We were waiting on Matt Farniok and Deontay Williams, I think, too.
And the other safety as well.
Dismuke, yeah.
Yes. So hopefully all of them come back.
The Naruto running Dismuke?
The safeties.
What?
The Naruto running Dismuke?
I don't get that.
You know what a Naruto run is?
No.
Okay. Well, if you watch someone do a Naruto run and then you watch the way Dismuke tackles, like, that's a Naruto run. He's doing a straight up Naruto run right into a guy.
Yeah. So I can put product placement. I can't, but you can mention all your stupid exercises.
Naruto was an anime cartoon that I've never watched.
That's given you one hell of a kickback.
Exactly.
Yeah, Naruto run is the only reason I know it. It's because it's what all those fucking nerds were saying they were going to do when they when they were going to break into. Agent, or what was that play? Area 51 or whatever. They're all like, if we Naruto run, we'll be going way fast. It's like, dude, shut the fuck up. Broadswords, you fucking nerds.
I remember the Area 51 stuff. I don't remember anyone talking about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, apparently Ryan was reading a lot more about it than we were.
Oh, because it was hilarious. These fucking guys.
How do you find out it's hilarious unless you're way deep into it?
Oh, I used to, when I found out they were storming Area 51, I was like, oh my God, we get to watch a murder bat. This is going to be great.
They didn't actually go end up doing it, did they?
No, of course not. They'd have been fucking murdered. It would have been the biggest mass killing by the United States government. The government straight up said, if you come onto Area 51 property, we will shoot to kill.
Everyone. There were like 20 people who were near there, and there was like a truck And yeah. they stayed away. Also, probably wouldn't be the biggest mass killing by the United States
government. Well, I'm saying on a, of Americans, thing. Of Americans, besides September 11th.
We could, well, Jesus. So I get crap, and you accuse the United States government of perpetrating 9/11. Okay. Well,
he picked us.
But I'm the one who gets heat. I'm the one who gets heat from the listeners.
He knows how to
pick his slides with them.
Tweety knows how to pick his moments, though, because you were like mid cough and had no chance of disputing him.
But also, 9/11 was an inside job. Jet fuel doesn't melt still beans.
This isn't the first time you've made this argument on the podcast, by the way.
One of his more coherent arguments.
So, go ahead. Including the ones who have already announced yay or nay, and the ones who haven't, who's the biggest potential returnee, potential lever on this year's team, like heading into 2021? Does that make sense?
Mills.
The way I phrase that?
Mills.
Okay.
Well, yeah, we haven't even mentioned him.
I was going to say Cam Taylor Britt.
I mean, yeah, if you can't have Cam Taylor Britt, then JoJo.
Yeah.
Can't have JoJo Doman, because he's already signed, then probably Mills. But also, be real honest, I don't really give a shit about any of them. I'm at the point where I just don't believe in this team. I just don't.
But those are a few guys who I did, like Cam Taylor Britt and Mills and Doman showed that they were Big Ten players, in my opinion.
Mills is way too slow for this offense.
But it depends on how they use him. What they did in the last game, granted, against not as great a team as they're going to face. And, you know, he didn't do against Ohio State what he did against Rutgers, but nobody does. I just think that there's not a lot of proven stuff behind him.
What I don't understand is I do actually kind of believe in Ramir Johnson, but yet they've stayed away from him at a certain point. So I get how a person practices matters, but also like at a certain point you gotta trot out the guys who are gonna compete on game days. And like, I mean, they did that with Maurice Washington, because clearly Maurice Washington was not, yes, you know, a practice habits kind of guy, but they knew that he was a special talent. And well, not that Ramir Johnson or any of these guys is necessarily special talents, but like there are so many guys who were big time recruits who have been
kept. Ramir Johnson was a three-star.
But that's kind of an injury, I think.
No, you're thinking of Ronald Tompkins.
But what I'm saying, though, is that I'm not specifically meaning Ramir Johnson, but there are a bunch of guys who've been kept off the field who we've never, ever seen. Like, if you're going to have bad seasons, like, roll out some variety in the lineups and see who's going to shine under the lights.
Yes. What did Omar Manning do? They did that this
year better than other years, I thought.
What did Omar Manning do to not earn playing time? And is a guy like him going to be back, and does it matter?
Omar Manning is a direct reaction to Maurice Washington, I think, that they lost a lot of credibility by playing Maurice Washington.
Oh, not playing him, you're saying?
So not playing Omar Manning is a direct response to the different backrush of Maurice Washington, I think.
Was Washington with Frost's first year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Where is he, by the way?
Jail, probably.
No.
L.A. County, Cook County. Not Cook County, L.A. County.
I think those charges were dropped, as it turned out. But it's interesting because he was very talented, but obviously not talented enough to overcome the other stuff.
Yeah, honestly, I really, really don't know or have that much interest in where he is. And maybe that's a cynical thing on my part, but like,
I'm not like looking to root for him. I'm just kind of curious as to where he ended up. It's not out of the realm, Ryan.
In March, he was sentenced to 30 days in jail and 2 years probation.
But he had to plead no contest.
And then in June, there was something like where he was missing, and I think they were afraid that he was going to hurt himself.
Oh, was that this year? Was that this June?
That was right
was that after, last June.
That was either right after he left the program or right before it.
Oh my God, that was this June?
Yeah.
That seems like it was, and obviously this has been said. I mean, that seems like it was 12 years ago.
In his defense, though, every time you see his name, it's Maurice Washington, you know, charged with child pornography. Dude, that's crazy. Like,
well, though, that's what that's what's in those statutes. You're right.
But that's not what he did.
Well, there's a needs to be a different term for it.
I mean, like, I fucked a 15-year-old. I was also
recently.
I was also 15. Correct. So, but you see how horrible it sounds when you don't say the second part?
Well, context is everything, Ryan. And the context of his is not great either. So,
I just
were both 14.
That was just you trying to brag the whole thing.
Yeah, I got pushed when I was 14. I got my dick sucked on Charles Starkweather's grave.
Oh, dear.
Are you counting
like livestock?
I was going to say, I tried to jump in very early on so there wasn't too much dead air, trying to make it not so easy for someone to cut that audio and make you sound terrible. But now I'm just letting you swim.
Let him go for it, man. If you guys want to cut that audio and try, I mean, it won't be hard to disprove. I'm not scared.
I'm terrified.
I'm no more terrified than usual.
So where are we going next?
We were talking about we got on a Maurice Washington. That was my fault.
Well, no, you're fine. Well, speaking though, like of talent and the talent coming back and talking about like, is this like even a team worth having any faith in? I mean, it was a weird year. And I will also say this, the bowl games and the playoff, I mean, Nebraska still really, 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 really has to learn how to win. That's clearly the big issue right now. Where they are stacking up to some of these teams, like, we never gave up 35 points in a half to Ohio State this year.
Yeah, but Clemson didn't want to be there.
Clemson didn't want to be in the college football playoff?
I know, I'm kidding.
I mean,
well,
like,
that was the excuse thrown out for Auburn against Northwestern.
Right.
But Northwestern looked like made Auburn look like they didn't belong on the same field with them. Like,
yeah, I just want to say one thing, though.
The Big Ten.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay. I was going to say the Big Ten actually showed up fairly well. The SEC had a bunch of teams cancel. They bragged about all their teams not backing out of bowls. Then they had two teams that had COVID problems. And then the rest of the teams that played kind of played like crap.
But the SEC...
Georgia should have lost to Cincinnati.
They
Luke Fickell should've. Did not win himself any big-time coaching jobs with that last... 2 minutes of the game.
Georgia whooped their ass.
No, only won by
Cincinnati. Should have won.
They misplayed the end of the clock.
So then, why did Cincinnati? Why didn't Luke Fickell?
Luke Fickell didn't manage the clock well.
Oh,
yeah, he screwed up with his late game management. But Cincinnati.
So he could be the coach of the Huskers ultimately.
Yeah. That's
sad, but true,
sadly Ryan. Accurate. You know what, Big Ten team, I have no problems. I think there's a Big Ten team that like impressed me and earned my respect in some ways this year, but I certainly have no problems seeing them lose the way they lost was Indiana. Because even my dad mentioned this today where he's like, man, if Nebraska had done half of what Indiana did, so Indiana was pissed because they didn't get to play in the Big Ten championship game because they kind of changed the rules for Ohio State.
They didn't kind of change the rules. They changed the... I was shocked that Indiana did that.
They could have let Indiana play Ohio State on the week before the Big Ten championship game. They could have slotted them in for a rematch.
But Indiana doesn't get to complain because Indiana played Ohio State and lost.
That's exactly right.
But no, hold on. They do get to complain. Because they changed the fucking rules.
I get that. And they did. But
Indiana wouldn't have beat Clemson.
Remember when we lost to Colorado and then played in the national championship? Remember that?
We didn't deserve to.
Right, no. But we did because they didn't change the fucking rules. You can't just go around changing rules all willy-nilly.
But they probably should have. It would have done us better, maybe, as Pat has made the point of before.
That year, Colorado didn't get a complaint. They didn't deserve to be in the national championship game that year either. Oregon did. Colorado lost two games. They lost the right to make that argument when they lost two games, one of which I believe was to Colorado State. They lost the right to make that argument. Neither Nebraska deserved to be in the championship game that year. And then Oregon proved it by completely pasting Colorado in the bowl game.
Was that Joey Harrington?
Yeah. Yeah. But that said, like, if it had been a team that hadn't played, everyone deserves the right to be able to say Ohio State didn't deserve to be in that Big Ten championship game and as a result, possibly the playoff. But the team that least has the right to that argument is Indiana because they already lost to Ohio State. And
then your argument only works when you're talking about the college football playoff. Wins and losses, or in this situation, COVID tests, are what affects the you know what I'm saying? Like,
they weren't Ohio State COVID tests. Like, it was Wisconsin COVID tests.
Yes, it's that's a bit of it. That's the problem.
Those are the rules. The reason I think it's such a big deal is because you're setting standards for how to handle these kind of situations in the future. And next time it could be a closer situation and it could be us, and they're going to give it to Ohio State because they think Ohio State has a chance.
But see, we wanted to
do more than us in the long haul. Obviously we're in a different division, but you get my point. You understand
your point.
But we wanted the Big Ten to change their rules. Like, we were making the argument that Big Ten should change their rules, that they should allow for the schedule to come back, and that they
didn't.
Right.
Well, that's a good point, Ryan. They didn't for us, but they did for Ohio State.
Right.
But that's, you know what? We used to be what Ohio State was. We got to get back to that point. That's what we're looking to do anyway, right?
This is a very unchecked capitalism argument. This is what happens when you have unfettered capitalism.
I'm looking at myself, Ryan, and I do look very, what's the word you used last week? Smug.
Yeah, you do.
I do.
It's Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
Even more now. Oh, that's.
Dude, you look like you want to do a TED talk on kombucha.
These are all deserved. But if I wanted to do the Ted Cruz, honestly, it's so sad. If I just shave this little thing, it's the goddamn exact same beard that guy has.
Ted Cruz?
Ooh. Yeah. He doesn't have this.
Tom Cruise's father?
This is called the macho. This is called the real macho.
I'm sorry, Penelope Cruz's father?
Both. They're all related. And Norwegian Cruises.
And Penelope Cruz, when they dated, if they would have gotten married and then they hyphenated their names, her name would have been Penelope Cruz.
And then they could have had their own Norwegian Cruise Lines cruise where you go on the cruise.
That'd be great.
Or what if they had just changed the spelling of each of their names to like C-R-U-I-Z-E?
Oh, so they combined them? Combined.
What if you worked on that shit?
That's what we should start doing instead of hyphenating names.
Yeah, combine that. Yeah. I have a friend who did that.
Would have been a good name. Ibrahima Edie?
Oh, you'd be like Ibrahimovic Edie.
Yeah.
Actually, her name is... her name doesn't need yours. Yours messes it up.
You could be Canaltman.
Or Manali. Or Murnally.
Yeah.
Listen, if you worked on that ship, you would be the crew of the cruise.
Oh, man. You're loving this.
Yeah. This is like an improv game. Joe loves it.
Well, surely you've got to have more than one crew.
The cruise
24 hours through the day.
You're right. They'd be the cruise.
Yep.
Wow. We should end. like forever.
Dude,
we got a recruit. Can we talk about that, or is that down further on the list?
I mean, whatever.
We got a guy who signed nationally.
I've torn this thing up a long time ago.
He looked fine. I looked him up after you said that. He looked great.
Yeah. You said he looked completely unthrilled. I think
it's racist. I think Joe's being racist.
No, I think he was on the verge of tears.
I think he was socially awkward.
That's true. That's true. You're right. He's a teenager. And there was a point when he was talking about leaving the island, and I could see him like holding his mom's hand under this. And shit, you're 16, 17 years old. I totally get it.
Well, he's never even visited Lincoln.
I know.
And he's probably never been out of Hawaii.
I think they said he's seen snow once. So I don't know if he has or not. Well,
that's what they call ash in Hawaii.
There was a big Hawaiian explosion, filled a lake up the other day.
I feel a lake.
It vaporized the lake, and then it became a huge lava lake. Look it up, folks. It is cool.
Hawaii is a cool place.
Yeah. I want to go to Hawaii. It's on my list.
If given the option of taking a Mountain West scholarship for the University of Hawaii and taking one for University of Alabama, I'd go Hawaii every day.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Who cares? Like, if you're good enough, you'll find your way in the NFL. And then,
why wouldn't? That's what I don't understand. Why isn't Hawaii like the best football team?
Yeah.
There are huge sort of financial constraints with that program based on their location. Because like their travel bill is nuts.
That's what they got to do. They just should do a road trip each year. Five games in the middle of the season.
Yeah, I'm sure that wouldn't be exhausting for the kids.
Now we care about the kids.
I know. I made that trip.
Not even pretending to give a shit. Entertain me. Entertain me.
My very trip as a sports broadcaster was out to a basketball tournament in Hawaii. And I remember thinking, God, these guys have to do this trip like every week or two. The basketball and football teams. That's just, I mean, it's like traveling internationally.
It's about the same distance as New York to Europe. So definitely. You're right. And you'd be I don't know how much you'd be able to enjoy. Actually, you'd be able to enjoy Hawaii plenty if you lived there and played for the program. Yeah. But that is a lot of traveling, I suppose.
Well, and then, like I say, because of the travel for the teams and the travels for recruiting, their budgets are so low. Like when I worked at VCU, the athletic director there told me that, our budget at VCU for kind of a mid-major and a school without a football program was bigger than that of Hawaii's.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
That's a bit of a challenge.
Well, they just have to host those tournaments and stuff like in basketball, like they do, because you'll always get teams to come out there one time. I was in Hawaii for 17 hours on a job where the flight was messed up and I had to spend most of the time in San Jose instead of Hawaii. Half the crew, half the cast got to spend a full free day in Hawaii. I get there, do the gig, drink two Mai Tais, pass out on the bathroom floor. And the whole gig was about these heavenly beds at these hotels. And I didn't even get to sleep in it because I fell asleep on the floor.
That sounds like your error. Like, I feel like that was avoidable.
I feel like we've done this whole sequence before.
Oh, I've never heard this story.
You look so defeated, Joe. I'm sorry.
I realized I could have just made it to the bed. I didn't want to puke in the bed.
I mean, hasn't stopped me.
Yeah.
First of all, let me just say that recruit is like he's our second or third most highly rated recruit. That's pretty big to pull after initial signing day.
The best at that position that we have.
Perhaps
we got a better the other linebacker recruit was actually higher on our board that we have.
The South Dakota one.
I can't remember.
Randolph Kapai?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got a pretty good linebacker haul.
He is a good hope for us. Yes. And that's, again, why Doman coming back is good. And getting this recruit is good. You're right. Our linebackers, we need it. We also could use, there are still two guys. I'm sorry if I'm tearing up your sheet, but Avante Dickerson and the linemen from Las Vegas are still, as of yet, not. And that would really be a good boost to our defense. Then the departures wouldn't matter near as much. Although these guys probably wouldn't play next year.
Yeah. I mean, I can take or leave Dickerson. I'm just the happiest if he doesn't sign with another Big Ten West divisional team.
Exactly.
He's higher ranked.
Depends on what you're looking at. I think in some rankings, the South Dakota guy is pretty highly ranked.
They're both four stars. Yeah. 9-0 and 9-3 on 247.
Okay. Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, how do we get the only black guy in South Dakota to come to Nebraska?
Because Nebraska is, you know, like a melting pot compared to South Dakota.
Yeah. How is man, Thomas Fedone, what a get.
Yeah.
I like our line commits too. I really like Lutovsky.
Oh yeah. And what we already have is nice. We're finally building that depth.
Yeah, Teddy Prochazka will be a little bit of a project because he's so long and lean. Lutovsky, if you've seen like any of his like workout videos, he looks like a beast. He's going to be a road grader in the interior. And
he looks like a bad guy from an 80s movie.
Lutovsky?
Yeah.
I'll take it. Like, and the name, bad guy, too.
Bad guy in what kind of movie?
Like the fat friend from Revenge of the Nerds or some shit.
Yeah, okay, gotcha. Nerds!
That went from being kind of a compliment to not at all.
Not like the guy from Karate Kid.
Nice.
So he looks like a sloth from Goonies.
Oh dear.
Hey you guys.
Baby Ruth.
That's how he's go big red. That's how he's gonna say.
God, I hope our recruits don't listen to this podcast.
I don't think they do.
We love all the recruits. We're saying they're beasts.
Yeah.
A few of them, I do know.
There's no way that guy looks at himself and thinks he looks pretty. There's no way. Okay, go ahead. Anyway, sorry, Pat.
Oh, no. I do know a few of our recruits follow us. I can't remember which ones. And then also Wandale's dad.
Yes.
Yeah. He got mad because we called him Wendell or something like that, or Wandale.
Jokingly.
I don't think he won the game.
He didn't get mad. He just corrected us.
Yes.
I'm just not sure he got the joke.
Yeah, right. I agree. Well, I mean, I hope we don't really lose anyone in the portal. I know that we're talking about guys who we don't care if they stay or go, but there's no reason that these seniors can't help us if they stay. Because at worst, they don't play, and those scholarships don't count. So in that way, now if we need to clear some more room to get in, perhaps these two recruits who are still out there, or somebody from the portal, then some underclassmen may have to go.
Are there any like reliable portal rumors out there right now? I'm with Tweety, and I haven't been on any boards in a while, just because it's like, what's the point until we win?
Yeah,
I feel right now. Like, I'm just so tired of losing, I can't get excited.
Yeah. Well, at least we're really far away from a game now, which is in Ireland. Are you guys going?
No.
We talked about it before.
I was gonna go, but I'm not gonna go now that we're losing.
Well, and also like committing money and plans to international travel before everything is resolved. Because, you know, Emma presents every other year at this conference in England, and they moved this past year to this coming year. But we're like, actually, we don't know if we want to commit just yet, because we already had European travel messed up this past year. Let's wait until everything's resolved before committing any plans. And that's, I mean, I think it's the same way with Ireland. And I genuinely wonder how many people will be willing and able to do that.
A lot.
Well, willing. I wonder how about the able part of it. Or both.
I think a lot of people may have already bought those tickets. You know, I thought early sales, they were saying, were pretty good. It you're right. A lot of it depends on how quickly things come back to, you know, some sense of normalcy. If it happens, like, let's say spring, summer, you could have a late surge of people buying tickets to that plan.
Yeah. Well, Ireland is a lot of fun. And that's an amazing stadium of
Eva good
stadium.
Drinking country, from what I've heard.
Yeah. Well, and if everyone's been locked in for over a year and then suddenly gets the chance to like let it all go with a trip to Dublin, by all means, that's the way to.
That isn't a bad. You're right. That isn't a bad kind of like quarantine coming out party. It'd be great for Nebraska too if they won.
Oh, if we could beat Brett Bielema.
Oh yeah,
say it,
Brett Bielema, dude.
Say it, Ryan, the right way.
A Bielema.
From the very classic video of five different types of SEC sports fans.
Oh yes, Bielema. Those were good.
If I remember, I'll share that in the Coronation article this week.
Yes.
All right. Anybody got anything else?
There was one other thing I wanted to talk about, but I'm trying to remember what it was. Did you write things down in the beginning?
I did.
We've blown through them.
Well, is this the low point for Husker sports?
Oh, is there the low point? That was what I wanted to say.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it is, and I'll tell you why. I think the low point for Husker sports is that Colorado game before the national championship in 2001. It meant more.
That's what kicked off. We didn't know it at the time.
It meant, well, not even that. It just meant more. Going 5-7 right now, I care far less.
That's what makes it. That's to me what makes it currently a low point. If you can rip a Husker fandom into apathy, that's a low point.
Like, I think that's a good point on your part, Pat. This is not the apathy is the lowest form of fandom.
Like, I think if you were to say the moment against Colorado hurt the most, you'd be absolutely right, Tweety.
You guys didn't see the going for two live.
Well, I did see Byron Bennett missing very wide left against Florida State.
That was so wide, though. That was so wide. Oh, it's hard to believe that, like, if we had Henry kicking, that we have a national championship right there. That would have been like the Clemson national title that they won against us in 81, where you're like, what? Nebraska won this thing? Because it came out of nowhere in a way.
Well, we were 17.5-point dogs in that game against Florida.
Exactly. I mean, I cried. Well, I cried for the Clemson game too. Then I cried again for the Miami game.
The
no crying this year. No, when we lost.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody, when we created those two programs.
Yeah. If it makes you feel any better, Florida State fucking sucks dick now.
Yeah.
That they do. I mean,
they got Mackenzie Milton.
Yeah, I bet there's a Florida State podcast right now that's saying if it makes you feel any better, Nebraska fucking sucks dick right now.
No, I don't think they do, because I think Florida State feels about us the way we feel about Florida. I don't give a shit about Florida. I have no ill will towards Florida because we fucking kicked the shit out of them.
We could have my friend back at all anytime talk. He loves talking Nebraska. He's a Florida State guy.
Back at all.
Damn, back at all.
Yeah, from in a video that you were in, but from Veep.
Veep, yeah. We did a bunch of videos together. Whenever I talk to him, we always talk Florida State, Nebraska.
Bob Wolfong gave me his email address once to try and get him on the podcast, and he never responded. You want to try it, Joe? I would love to have back at all on the podcast.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Next Sunday, I'll call him.
All right.
That dude loves to talk about Nebraska. And about Florida State. He'll rip on. He's great. He knows a lot about college football.
That's a great interview. I can't wait to burn his ass.
Well, I mean, shit, one of our most listened to in a while has got a, or at least one of our most talked about ones in a while was the Frank Costa interview. So might as well let's talk Miami. Some more state of Florida football.
He hates Miami so much too.
Okay,
so
good.
Danny Warfel on here.
I tried, got turned down.
All right. We didn't get his, banned back at all, I think.
His secretary wanted a link to the episodes, at which point I knew we were not going to secure that because he runs a faith-based organization.
Gotcha.
And sure enough,
just think of the first
that,
5 minutes of this episode today.
not long after that, I got a pretty hard no. She was very nice, secretary, but it was a very clear
sign, burn in hell.
It was a very clear, this is never happening.
I will pray for your soul.
Yes, you poor, like when, damned soul.
In the in the beginning of COVID, when we were just doing a run of interviews, he was among the people I reached out to, and he was Danny Werfel, a very clear no, which again, I anticipated, but I figured, shoot your shot.
What about Charlie Ward?
That was a no response.
Ooh, Charlie Ward. I'd love to talk to him about playing for the Knicks.
That's the thing when you do a lot of booking, you get a lot of no responses.
I got a lot of no responses.
If we could get Charlie Ward and Back It All together, like Back It All might do it anyway, but he would, for Charlie Ward, he'd do it in a heartbeat. And that might be the only way to get Charlie Ward to do it. That's how
to I get him from a show that he probably doesn't watch.
Yeah. I don't think that Dan Back It All is as famous as people think.
No, but he's been, if Charlie Ward watches Veep, for example, there. And he's a Florida State alum.
My family was far more excited that I was in a video with the Toyota girl than they were with a video in Dan Back It All.
You know, some of it's about
who you're
asking.
She's been seen by more people. She's been seen. It's true. She's been seen. More people know who she is. But Charlie Ward might know. I mean, there's not a lot of Florida State alums who do any TV that I know of. So whatever.
He runs some nonprofit too, I think. I think that's who I reached out to talk to him. Another podcast, for whatever reason, was offering us like, there's another Husker podcast who likes us and is like, here, you should reach out to this guy. So Jamal Lord is next on my list to try and reach out.
Jamal Lord.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Mike will be on that episode.
He will. My brother.
Oh, is Mike a big Jamal Lord fan?
Yes. Yeah. He says Jamal Lord is one of the more underrated Nebraska quarterbacks.
Agreed.
Your brother is right. Yeah. We're all in agreement, it seems like.
Jamal well, then Lord, that's how you pitch the episode. We're doing a series on most underrated Huskers of all time, and you're our first one.
Yeah. Who's your second one? I don't know. Okay, that's a good question. Who are the top three most underrated?
Give us time. I can't just come up with them now.
Yeah, you can. Jamal Lord is obviously one of them for all of us. So who are the other two?
Who's this fullback who ran in 2 touchdowns in the Natty title game?
Corey Schlesinger. He played in the NFL quite a while.
And also, he's one of the most remembered.
Still underrated.
Of all time. He's not underrated.
I was going to – this isn't just because I'm from Auburn, but because like he actually put up good numbers and then had a 10-year NFL career with the same team, Chris Kelce. Like he destroyed the Oklahoma quarterback in that 0-1 game where Crouch is forever remembered for catching the touchdown.
The ball, yeah.
That defense played their asses off in that game.
Because, yeah, Oklahoma had a good offense that year, didn't they?
I mean, they were Oklahoma. I mean, they were a top 5 team.
I'm going to go with Taylor Martinez.
Actually, that's a good one. That's a really good one.
Which is funny because this is off. I know we're going to get comments about, didn't you fucking go on a rant about Taylor Martinez being full, like being shit like 3 months ago? Yes, I did. I was mad. But Taylor Martinez is one of my favorite players of all time.
I might say Burkhead in recent memory.
I don't know, man.
I don't know that he's underrated.
Underrated.
No, I guess not. But that guy never lost yards. Always made the first guy miss.
He ran like Johnny Rogers.
Also dropped a
Yes, he ran like Johnny Rogers, but
he had that weird
slower.
He did. Seen like, he had a dog with like some weird like the with weird hips that runs.
But he has very good hips. And that's something that Belichick likes, because he likes guys who can catch passes out of the backfield, and that's an important factor for that.
But as much as I love Rex, he did drop a huge touchdown pass against Texas the year after we lost to them in the Big 12 championship game, and that ended our hopes of a potential natty run that year. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I don't know.
Could we say Sue was underrated?
Just because he didn't win the Heisman.
Right.
Matt Slauson. I'll go to an offensive lineman because he's still playing, I think, in the NFL. But because he came in the Callahan days, no one talks of him. Like in the same breath as like Aaron Taylor, Aaron Graham, those guys. Mm-hmm. So I'll put him up there as a potential underrated, also because no one talks about offensive linemen.
I'm going to go with Kenny Walker.
Okay. All right. You got more to that?
Well, I think that he played for Denver Broncos.
Okay.
Super, super, super dope. I think was a defensive end, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And he was deaf.
Yeah.
Like he had to like fight like through a lot of adversity.
Yeah. They talk about like, I've seen a couple features on a football team, college football team that is all from a deaf school, but it makes it in a way more impressive. He was a great player in the regular system, you know, not with any of the kind of built-in things that school had done for those players. So he had to adjust kind of as one man on his own to all that stuff.
Well, and Charlie McBride told me a story.
Yeah, during one of our episodes we were talking about.
No, it was in Arizona.
We were all talking about it. We all heard it.
Well, let's hear the story and then we'll verify.
It may have been on the podcast too. But he was telling me that I'll tell you when it was. It was in Through These Gates. It was in the interview. Because I have it in the video where he starts crying. It's the one time in the video where Charlie McBride had to wipe tears from his eyes. He's talking about
Were you standing on his foot during that time?
No. It was, dude, that it caught everybody off guard. Charlie. We were all like, whoa.
Yeah.
It was the time that he got to go in and tell Kenny Walker that he was an All-American.
Oh, yeah.
And he was so excited about it. And he said, what'd he say? And he said on his senior game for Kenny Walker, they taught the crowd how to applaud in sign language.
Yeah.
And they all came out and the whole crowd was doing this. And Kenny Walker just started sobbing, I guess. And Charlie McBride, man, what a cool, we should have him on again.
Yeah.
But after that last one, I don't know that he'd ever come on again.
I hope he's still all right with us.
He's still happy. Like we're still cool, but I just don't think he'd want to come on again because he fucked up.
Maybe if it was just him and you,
I don't think it would matter. I don't think he realized how many listeners we had.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had a lot at that time because everyone was anticipating the Frost stuff.
We had a lot in general.
Well, yeah,
they've gone down. I mean, three losing seasons
are we down from our all time high?
Yeah,
that Charlie episode and the Taylor Martinez episode are probably the high watermarks.
I think that the Charlie McBride one's the highest one.
The Christian Peter one was fairly up there too, wasn't it?
Yeah, that Taylor Martinez one was huge, and then
I've been high for all of them, really.
Huh?
Nothing.
You said
the Charlie McBride one was huge too.
Yeah. That particular Charlie one
was
the highest. We just had a staff meeting recorded on air for everyone to listen to, an entire podcast planning meeting. But
yeah,
it was fun to me.
I
agree.
Can't guarantee it was for everyone else.
I haven't even heard it yet, so maybe it is fun.
Anything else, guys?
Happy New Year.
All right. Happy New Year to you. I don't know if that was to me or to the listeners, but right back.
Everybody.
Cool. Well, follow us on Twitter at Big Red Copcast. We're on Facebook.com/Copcast, Patreon.com/Big Red Copcast. One of these days, you're going to need that Hawkeye Tears water bottle. maybe this basketball season when we...
If we beat them, that would be a huge upset.
When we make the Garza cry, yes, you're going to want that water bottle.
That's right.
And there are other things you can get from there too.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't just keep it to that. You can donate money for a whole bunch of reasons.
Absolutely.
That'll do it.
That's how you watch this video. That's how you watch this video. The video version of the podcast.
That's true.
Yes.
You got in before the bus. So, that sentence still stands on the podcast.
Trump 2024.
Oh, Patty rides a bus.
Patty rides a bus.
Same thing.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.
The Sea of Red, Husker Nation.
See what makes Nebraska fans the greatest fans in college football with a new movie directed by Lincoln native Ryan Tweedy.
Through These Gates.
The perfect gift for Husker fans.
Available on DVD now at huskerfilm.com.